We have one case scheduled for argument this morning. We understand counsel have appeared, announced ready, and declared the time that you wish to take for that argument. So we'll call Paul Robertson versus Home State County Mutual Insurance Company.
Good morning. May it please the court. I represent Paul Robertson in this case against Home State County Mutual. There are two issues for the court. One is, were Mr. Robertson's claims excluded under the employee exclusion? And the second issue is, were Mr. Robertson's claims excluded under the workers' compensation exclusion? We would urge that under the history of both of those provisions and under the case law of the state of Texas, that the answer to those questions is neither of those exclusions exclude the claims of Paul Robertson. Paul Robertson obtained a judgment. We had this proceeding. Home State filed a motion for summary judgment on those two grounds. Mr. Robertson argued that under Texas law, if there are two reasonable interpretations of a exclusion or a provision, that the reasonable interpretation that affords coverage will be provided and will be accepted at least for purposes of determining whether or not there's coverage. In this case, the term domestic employee was the key phrase. And whether or not a domestic employee, if an employee is a domestic employee, then the workers' compensation exclusion does not apply. So long as there's not workers' compensation benefits for that employee. The Carroll versus Castillo case, which is the Corpus Christi Court of Appeals case, interpreted the term domestic employee to be ambiguous and therefore affording coverage. While Home State argues that domestic employee means someone who works in a household and cleans, that is one interpretation. However, another interpretation is a domestic employee that works in this country as opposed to a foreign country. We would urge the court to pick up any dictionary. I just picked up the one that was at my house. And the definition of the term domestic, and realize the court's focus on the ordinary meaning of the terms used in the policy unless otherwise provided. The policy here does not define the term domestic employee. And the courts have said that the ordinary term, rather than statutory definition, should be given to that language. Domestic is defined as pertaining to the home or household affairs of the family. That's one definition. Another definition is of or pertaining to one's own or a particular country, indigenous to or produced with one's own country, not foreign, native. Domestic goods is an example they give. We would assert that the Corpus Christi Court of Appeals, the only Texas court to interpret this provision in the insurance policy, supports the conclusion under Texas law that there are two reasonable interpretations of the term domestic employee, and because one would afford coverage, that the trial court should have not granted summary judgment and determined there was at least a fact issue on the question of whether this exclusion applied.
Are there any other contexts which you are aware of in which the term domestic employee has been used or interpreted as you're suggesting?
This is the only case that I found, Your Honor.
Even outside of just case law, is there any what other context would that term be used?
Well, the Judge Evans cited to the workers' compensation statute. There is a provision in the workers' compensation statute that provides that domestic employees, meaning, and that was interpreted to mean maids under the legislative intent, weren't covered by the workers' compensation system. However, the Texas case law is very clear that the ordinary meaning of words should be used and not statutory unless there's something in the policy that states that there should be some special term.
I guess that's what I'm getting at, is ordinary meeting in another context. I've never seen that term used in another context and interpreted in the manner that you're suggesting. So just try, I mean, I would think perhaps in some immigration situation there might, you know, that term might be used, but I don't know.
There are. That term is used by the Immigration and Naturalization Service when discussing domestic employees versus foreign employees, and whether a foreign employee can become, and when and if a foreign employee can become a domestic employee.
Do you have a cite to a federal regulation or statute?
I do not, but I will provide that to the court in a post-submission brief. The second issue is whether or not the employee exclusion applies.
Excuse me. Is a domestic worker the same thing as a domestic employee?
I think it's ambiguous as to whether or not a domestic worker is a domestic employee or has a different meaning for purposes of this argument, because I think the term domestic is the term that can be ambiguous and can be applied both ways.
So when they're talking about exporting jobs offshore, how do they distinguish between the employees and the jobs that stay in this country as opposed to the employees and the jobs that are offshore? Do you know what that terminology is?
I don't know that I'm familiar with the terminology that the court is addressing. I am familiar with, in the maquiladora context of the workers on that work at the twin plants, one on plant on the United States side, one on the Mexico side, they are routinely referred to as the American employees, or the United States citizens that live in this country are referred to as domestic employees, and then the employees on the other side are foreign employees. And I can, in the post-submission brief,
in the context of the maquiladoras.
Correct. I can provide some cites to that language. Although the courts have been, the Texas Supreme Court has repeatedly said, we look at the language and the ordinary meaning of that language.
Right.
I think the first stop would be a definition. All dictionaries I've seen have the definition that provides both domestic in terms of someone who works in the household and someone who works in this country as another reasonable definition. With regard to the employee exclusion, that provides that any obligation for which the insured may be held liable under any workers' compensation, disability benefits, or employment unemployment compensation law or any similar law, the courts have said the intent of this statute is to provide that. I'm going to give you the quote from the Arizona case. This subsection contemplates a situation where an employer may be exposed to liability to an employee for an injured covered by workman's compensation. This exclusion shows that the insurance policies work as a seamless web. If they have workers' compensation insurance, then it would make sense that this policy or another policy, an auto policy, a truck policy, would not apply and provide that the coverage would be excluded. But in this case, the employer did not have workers' compensation insurance. Under that definition, and I've cited cases from Arizona and Maine that have interpreted, even if there's a common law, if there's only a common law claim and there's no workers' compensation coverage, then this exclusion cannot exclude that claim. The idea being that there is, Texas public policy provides that it's in the interest of the state of Texas to provide workers' compensation benefits. Only about 60% of all employers provide workers' compensation benefits, and that number's actually been going down for about the last 8 years. What this does is this provides the injured employee with a area to seek redress, and the reason why we have employers have workers' compensation coverage is so that the injured persons don't have to go on public assistance that has to be paid by the state of Texas, such as Medicaid and other public assistance. That burden is put on the employer who gained the benefit from the worker who was injured in the job. The employer also, in this case, had coverage that to be at least provided to employees in the context that were using vehicles. The employer exclusion only excludes, and if you read the if you read the definition, it says any obligation which would be available under any workers' compensation benefits. It's actually, it reads workers' compensation disability benefits or unemployment compensation law or any similar law. In this case, there were no workers' compensation benefits available to Mr. Robertson and the employer because the employer was a non-subscriber to the system. If the court were to hold that this provision did not apply to workers' compensation benefits and instead extended to a common law claim for negligence, then employers would be left without any coverage in a situation where they thought they had coverage for their employees. It would also be contrary to the Texas public policy to shift that responsibility to the employer. Here the employer did have coverage that covered this incident. Now the insurer, who did not raise either of these exclusions pre-suit, did not raise the employee exclusion. They did raise the domestic employee exclusion, but they did not raise this exclusion pre-suit, which we feel is some evidence that they didn't feel that it applied either. Mr. Robertson otherwise is not going to have any redress for his injuries that he sustained here. With that, unless the court has any questions, I will submit the federal regulations that Chief Justice Casey referenced and the references to the maquiladoras that the court had. Unless you have any other questions, I'll reserve my further comments until after Mr. Jackson's argument.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jackson.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is George Jackson. I represent Homestate County Mutual Insurance Company in this case. In this case, Homestate issued a liability policy of insurance, a trucking liability policy. And that's a key distinction to keep in mind here because it's a policy that's designed to provide liability coverage for Ray's Ready Mix and its employees when they're operating trucks and they go out and cause injury to third parties. In this case, the arguments made by counsel would seek to convert a liability policy into something else, a workers' compensation policy, or a policy that provides benefits somehow to employees of Ray's Ready Mix. And in this case, there were two exclusions that directly applied separately and independently to eliminate coverage available under the policy for Mr. Robertson. There's no question that Mr. Robertson was an employee at the time of this incident. He pled that he was. He consistently maintained that pleading that he was an employee. He also consistently maintained the pleading that Ray's Ready Mix was a non-subscriber to workers' compensation benefits. So in this case, the arguments that are made by counsel that on the two separate exclusions are unavailing. First, the workers' compensation exclusion. With respect to the workers' compensation exclusion, there is a case from Texas, the Illinois versus Hagendorf case. And in Illinois versus Hagendorf, the Western District considered the effect of these precise exclusions and these exact arguments that are being made today. A gentleman named Prieto was injured in the course and scope of his employment. He claimed that he was a domestic employee because he was working in this country, and that the workers' compensation exclusion would not apply. In the Hagendorf construction case out of the Western District, 2004, the Hagendorf court decided that case solely on the application of the workers' compensation exclusion. And by doing so, in that opinion, the court pointed out that a claim that is made under a non-subscriber theory does arise under the Texas Labor Code, specifically under 406.033. And under 406.033, non-subscribing employers are not allowed to avail themselves of common law defenses. Along those same lines, under 406.033 subsection D, an employee in the course and scope of his employment against an employer who does not have workers' compensation insurance coverage must prove negligence of the employer or of an agent or servant. So the claim that it's simply a common law cause of action for negligence is not accurate. This action does have to proceed under a negligence theory, but under 406.033D, it does arise under the workers' compensation laws of the state of Texas. And the Hagendorf court concludes that when an employee brings a negligence suit against his non-subscribing employer, such a suit arises under the Texas Workers' Compensation Act. It is completely provided for and described in the Workers' Compensation Act, and as a consequence, the workers' compensation exclusion that is contained in the home state policy operates separately and independently from the employee exclusion to eliminate coverage for the claims made by Mr. Robertson. The cases that I've cited in the brief follow that logic in Figueroa, Smith versus Tubal-Cain, Dean versus Texas Steel. Those cases address the issue of removal and the argument that a claim made against a non-subscriber arises under Workers' Compensation Acts, the Workers' Compensation Act, and is therefore not removable. The cases cited by Mr. Robertson and his counsel are from Arizona. They are from Maine. And a couple of those cases, State Farm versus Caresc, Allied Mutual versus Lariva, those cases were criticized by a subsequent case out of the Arizona Court of Appeals, but really the focus of those cases doesn't have to do with the application of the workers' compensation exclusion in the context of this case. Those cases had to do with offsets for UM claims. An argument was forwarded here that I heard for the first time today, and we would object to it on a public policy basis. I don't believe that there is any briefing in Mr. Robertson's brief requesting this court to try and obviate or eliminate the application of either of these exclusions on public policy grounds. And to the extent it's being raised here for the first time, we would object to such an argument.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
Yes.
This is a liability insurance carried
by
the company.
Correct.
To relieve the company of liability for injuries caused when its employees use or operate the vehicles. Is that right?
To members of the public other than employees.
Well, I'm not there yet.
Okay.
But it's to protect the company, right?
It is to protect the company for liability claims.
All right. Now, if an employee is operating a truck and is injured by an uninsured motorist, does the insurance policy kick in?
If the employer has not rejected uninsured motorist coverage, then it would kick in, but that would be a separate aspect of the business auto policy.
Okay. If it's not been affirmatively rejected, then it kicks in and pays the medical bills of the operator that was hit by the uninsured motorist. Is that right?
I believe that would be correct.
does the exclusion in your policy exclude the coverage of medical bills then if the person is in the course and scope of his employment so that it would be a compensable injury if they were carrying comp?
I think it would still, if they had workers' compensation insurance, I think the exclusion would still apply because this is not a workers' compensation policy. And I think the right. argument that is being made is to try and convert this liability policy to a workers' compensation policy.
So if there is comp insurance, then there would be an exclusion. But if there's no workers' compensation insurance, then the employee driver would be covered. Is that what you're saying?
No, Your Honor. Because he is making a claim that arises under the Workers' Compensation Act, and in essence, he is gaining a benefit from the Workers' Compensation Act because the employer is barred from asserting common law defenses. That's the Hagendorf Court comes to that conclusion. Because
so even if there is, if they have not rejected the uninsured motorist coverage, you're saying that simply because the person is an employee, the insurance policy doesn't cover them?
Because they're an employee, the liability policy that's been issued, the business auto liability policy that's been issued, does not provide coverage for their injuries. The uninsured motorist coverage, if it is selected, is a separate and distinct coverage,
but does it
and
provide,
the PIP coverage as well.
But does it provide coverage if there's no comp coverage?
The uninsured motorist coverage?
Mm-hmm.
If the uninsured motorist coverage was in effect, I believe it would provide coverage, but it's a separate coverage from the liability portion of the policy.
Okay.
Mr. Jackson.
Yes.
This is an indemnity policy, isn't it?
It is
a liability policy. That is the policy of indemnification for claims made for the kind of activities covered by the use of in the use of an automobile or a truck in this instance.
Yes. Yes.
And how, when the claim is filed here, it's my understanding that the claim related to a tarp that was defective and that an injury resulted to the employee after he'd given notice to the employer that he had a defective tarp. And so the injury was related to the employer's failure to address the issue of a defective tarp. And liability claim against the employer was resulted in a judgment against the employer. Am I right on all those?
Yes.
And in terms of the exclusion, it's talking about an obligation for which the insured or the insured's insurer may be held liable under any workers' compensation disability benefits. That kind of event would not be covered under a workers' compensation individual benefit if the employer was not a subscriber under Texas law. Am I right on that?
Your Honor, I think that while he may not have received benefits, I think the distinction that the Hagendorf case makes, which I think is correct, is that his claim is arising under and is part of a workers' compensation law or any similar law.
I read the Hagendorf case. It appears to me that they're dealing more with the kind of claim as opposed to the application to the liability aspect of this case in the Hagendorf case. And the reason I say there's a distinction is just looking at the type of injury involved here. When you cite to the workers' comp law and we look at the section of workers' comp law that is quoted in your brief, it's providing that there are certain defenses that are not available, but it doesn't provide in that section that this kind of conduct causes this kind of liability for the employer. The liability is based on the common law failure on the part of the employer to address the issue of a defective tarp. And I'm having trouble getting around the fact that your exclusion, in the way that it's worded, leaves open a employer who believes they're covered with insurance when they buy it, bar indemnification on liability claims that result from an automobile accident, incident that's the basis for the claim.
And I think my response, Your Honor, would be this. I think in the Hagendorf case, what the claim involved allegations of negligence in maintaining the vehicle and the brakes which caused a rollover. I think here it's a very similar type of allegation where you've got they negligently maintained the tarp, he was working on the tarp, that's how he injured himself. I think the fact patterns are very similar, and I think the holding would be similar under the workers' compensation exclusion. I'm starting to run out of time. I'd like to address the employee exclusion, if I could. But I think that in the separate application of the employee exclusion in this case also requires sustaining the decision of the trial court below. The employee exclusion, as has been noted by a number of other courts that I cite in my brief, in the context of this domestic argument, domestic versus USA argument, has been rejected by the vast majority of courts that have considered it. And the Castillo decision, I think, is in by far the minority decision, and it's also an unpublished decision. In addition, with respect to what type of activity Mr. Robertson was doing at the time of the incident, I don't think there's any question that he was operating a truck. If he's not operating a truck, there's no coverage in the first place under the policy. And if he is operating a truck, then under 390.5 under the CFRs, he's considered a statutory employee of Ray's Ready Mix and therefore subject to the employee exclusion and the application of the employee exclusion. Hardware Dealers versus King addresses this concept of having a dual capacity, one of which might result in coverage under the workers' compensation laws and one of which does not. The same logic applies here. He is not acting as a domestic employee. He is not cleaning the house or cleaning the yard at the time. He's a truck driver.
Isn't he cleaning the office?
If he's cleaning the office at the time of this incident.
No, but I mean, isn't that one of his duties to clean the office and to clean up the yard?
Well, you get into a further distinction of being a janitor or being a domestic employee. And if he's a janitor, then he's not a domestic employee. And I see my time is finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Smith.
May it please the court and counsel. And Justice Meyer, in response to your question, the Texas Supreme Court, as recently as 2006, said that the non-subscriber cause of action is a common law cause of action for negligence. While 406.033 of the Labor Code may provide that certain defenses are not available, that doesn't provide a mechanism for which someone is liable under the workers' compensation laws. It only provides that certain defenses are not available. It's still a common law cause of action that existed at common law when Texas was admitted into the Union and under the 1876 Constitution. With regard to the domestic employee question, Texas law provides the reason why those other state opinions with regard to domestic employee don't apply is because Texas law is very clear that even if another state or if another interpretation of the term domestic employee is reasonable and does not afford coverage, if there is a reasonable interpretation of a domestic employee that affords coverage, then there is coverage. And it would make sense in Texas that since we're on the Mexico border, and that there's a very clear distinction of domestic and foreign employers. In fact, as we talked about earlier, some employers have plants on both sides of the border. And therefore, we believe under Texas law and under a policy that was issued in Texas that domestic employee is a reasonable interpretation that would afford coverage to employees that work here in this country and not in a foreign country.
There's a part of that domestic employee definition, though, that really hasn't been discussed, at least in argument, and that's the not entitled to workers' compensation benefits. What do you propose that that means in defining the type of domestic employee we're talking about?
Well, I assert that it is an employee that is not entitled to workers' compensation benefits because they have not elected workers' compensation coverage. You're only entitled to benefits if your employer elects to be a subscriber to the workers' compensation system. Now, it could apply to someone who is excluded under the Workers' Compensation Act. For instance, an employee, a domestic employee who is intoxicated at the time of injury would not be entitled to workers' compensation benefits because there is an express exclusion. So an employee that worked in this country but was intoxicated, became injured, would not be entitled to benefits. He may be entitled to,
but you're also liability. You're also interpreting it as not entitled to, as meaning someone who works for an employer who's a non-subscriber.
Absolutely, Your Honor. With that, we would ask the court to hold that these two exclusions do not apply to this case and remand the case to the trial court for further proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith, Mr. Brender, Mr. Jackson. I appreciate all of you coming here this morning to present your arguments, and you're very helpful. Mr. Jackson, have a good trip back to Houston, and we'll have the case submitted and ask the clerk to adjourn us for the day. Thank you.